Welcome to Comics.
Episode 222. This week, we talk about Secret Wars. Visit us at welcometocomics.com. Listen to past episodes. See what we're reading next. Send us a message. Or find us on Facebook, Twitter, and Tumblr. This episode is supported by listeners like you. Go to patreon.com/welcometocomics. And now,
the cast begins.
Also, this last weekend, Liara came in. Oh, man, I should have showed it to her. I should have showed it to you when you came over to help me move in the recliner.
Oh, yeah, I should have asked about it.
Yeah, but so she comes with, like, she knows she has, like, biotic powers and she can use pistols and stuff. So she comes with a right hand and a left hand, a right hand with a gun in it, and a right and a left hand both, like, using the biotic powers, you know?
Yes.
But my wife doesn't know that she has different hands. So every day in the morning before she wakes up, I've been changing the hands. Mm-hmm. And she'll be like, has it always been like that? Like, she still doesn't know that they change every day. I just am able to convince her. No, it was like that when she came. I had the thing in the right hand and then the left hand was just open.
That's what it was pretty hilarious. Like.
It's been working for a week. How was your 4th of July?
It was cool. Like, this was the first time in a long time where I actually went to, an organized fireworks event.
Oh, yeah, so you went cool. To the lake, huh?
Yeah, it was pretty good for, like, the local. I mean, San Jose is a pretty big city, I guess, so it wasn't that small, but it was awesome. There was lots of people, and it was very crowded, and, you know how it goes.
Yeah. Yeah,
The kids enjoyed it, so that's the most important thing.
Yeah, yeah. Yeah, there's lots of, like, it's weird. San Jose is a big city, and I don't know, did they even do city fireworks this year? I know there's, like, a bunch of smaller ones, like, some of the elementaries and high schools will do them, and then, like, they did them out by the Almaden Lake.
Mm-hmm.
But I don't think the city actually does, like, San Jose fireworks display. I don't think they do that.
Yeah, I don't know. I mean, this is the local one to us, so that's why we end up going. But
yeah, anyway. Well, I mean, it was 4th of July. I got Liara. I don't have a whole lot of witty banter this week. There wasn't, like, news. Image Expo happened. Oh, and there was news for Image Expo, and I don't remember what it was.
Oh, and by the time this comes out, this episode comes out, it will be very close to San Diego Comic-Con.
Yeah.
People who are actually going to be going.
Yeah, not me this year.
Not me either.
Yeah.
A friend of ours actually offered to look for something for me, but there wasn't really anything that I'm looking for as far as the Comic-Con exclusive stuff.
Yeah, and you know, like, just asking a friend to stand in those lines, like, it would be neat to have some of that stuff, but I don't even want to ask him to think about standing in those exclusive lines, because some of them are just nuts. I don't know. Some of them are okay. It's hit and miss. But, like, the hero, like, to ask him to stand in line for the Hero Click exclusive on the first day? No, I don't even want to. I don't even know what the exclusive is this year. Do you know?
No, I know they have, like, Brainiac's ship is the big one for DC. And then there's also for Marvel, it's the Kree Supreme Intelligence.
Oh, yeah.
Those are the two big ones.
I don't need those.
Yeah. There's also, like, I think there's a Doctor Strange and Felix and a Felix Faust. I forget what the other ones are. But yeah, I'm the same way. It's like, well, I could ask a friend to get it for me by standing in line for however many hours. Or, you know, I could just wait a year and maybe get it on eBay or something for the same price.
Yeah, for more or less the same price. It's only, most of them are only super expensive right after. And in a year in hindsight, you're kind of like, did I really need that? No, not really. I have that problem all the time. When I go to conventions, I'll buy shit and then realize later, I didn't really need this. It's just sitting in a box in a corner.
Well, like last year, I had the same friend bring me back the Zombie Galactus exclusive for HeroClix, and I haven't played it still. So
we should do that. We should do that for a game night.
Yeah, we should. I mean, obviously, we should.
We should. I feel like that'd be a more fair fight than your King Thor.
Yeah, probably, man.
That guy should have been a colossal figure. He's nuts.
Yeah. Well, it's actually funny. In the comic that he's from, he does actually fight Galactus. So.
Well, there we go. Yeah. I mean, that seems about on par.
Exactly.
Well, you want to just get into it and do this week's comic?
This week's comic.
Yeah, I mean, Galactus, he's in Secret Wars.
So. Oh, yeah, he is. I forgot already. Anyway, yeah, Jen's not joining us for this episode because she was crazy, crazy busy at work. And I would tell you with what, but I don't honestly remember what she does for a living. Sorry, Jen. So it's just me and David tonight. We get to talk about Secret Wars by Jim Shooter from 1984. Oh, God, who did the art for this one? Man, I'm the worst with art notes. Every fucking time I forget the goddamn art notes. Art by Mike Zeck and Bob Layton.
Oh, Layton.
Bob Layton. He seems to constantly show up throughout everything made in the 80s and late 70s and early
90s. Read him. He did Hercules, Prince of Power.
Yeah.
And remember, some of our listeners may or may not remember, but we met him at the last, whatchamacallit, WonderCon in San Francisco.
Before that's what it was. Yeah.
And when I asked him to sign my copies of Prince of Power, he said, sure, I'll ruin those comics for you. So I have the, you know, not like they're CGC rated or anything, but they're, you know, signed copies of the Hercules Prince of Power.
Yeah, they're properly defaced.
Yeah, I think actually that's the term he used, defaced.
Yeah. So this, I read this whole thing, and I don't know if I liked it or not.
Well, so here's the thing. I mean, this comic was essentially a big commercial. So there was a toy tie-in that went along with this comic. So I don't know much about it. I wasn't old enough to play with action figures when this came out. I mean, I guess technically the 80s were a different time.
Yeah.
And there were crossovers and stuff that went along with it, you know?
Yeah. So I was wondering about that because, you know, like, when you think about major events today, the point of the major event is to tie into other comics and make you read, like, everything. You know, like, there's Blackest Night, and that's the main event, and you have to read, you know, the three different Green Lantern titles for Blackest Night. But then there's also, like, Blackest Night Blue Beetle, Blackest Night Booster Gold, Blackest Night Justice League Blast. Like, there's Blackest Night everything. I was wondering, did that happen with Secret Wars? I don't know, because, like, this seems like such a better contrivance for an event series, you know? Like, they just pulled them out of whatever they were in and just smacked them onto Battle World and called it good. Like, there's no interaction with the outside world happening here.
So there were crossovers. There was Spider-Man, Avengers, Captain America, Hulk, Iron Man, Thing, Fantastic Four, Marvel Team Up, Thor, and Uncanny X-Men crossovers for Secret Wars. However, you know, you don't have to read those things to complete the story, right?
Oh no, not at all. Like I don't know.
I think there was only one instance early in one issue where I thought I must have had need to have read the one of the crossovers to get it, but I don't even remember what the issue was. I think it had something to do with somebody from the Fantastic Four, maybe. But it was irrelevant. I mean, you didn't...
I think I know what you're talking about. I don't know. Well, Sue wasn't there for some random reason. I don't know why you would bring three of the Fantastic Four.
Well, she was pregnant. I think that's why they...
Oh, and you can't have a pregnant woman in danger's way. Yeah, okay. Yeah, no, it's okay. I know we also have a friend named John who does podcasts. You can go look him up. I'm going to cut that out. Jesus, I'm like tired today too. So we have a friend named John whose pet peeve with classic comics is the way that everybody always says each other's names. You know what I mean? And they do that so much in this.
Yeah.
Like, I know you're, like, everyone knows that you're, but because the reader might not know that this is Captain America, they do that. But then they also, on top of that, in this, they give everybody's catchphrase, because this is the perfect time. Like, maybe you're a Thor fan, and you see Thor in Secret Wars. This is a perfect time to tell, like, to sell you on Magneto, the Prince of Magnetism, or whatever it is. And, yeah. Like, every single time they would mention Magneto, they would also mention his catchphrase.
Master of Magnetism.
Master of Magnetism. That's what it was, yeah.
Yeah, that was... There were some characters in here where their personality really shone through strongly to the point where it was annoying.
Is that Wasp?
Oh, man, Wasp is the worst. Wasp is
the worst. Every time I saw her on the panel, I was like, oh, Christ.
She's, like, broken a nail, or she's complaining about how she couldn't go to the mall or something. It was just, it was like, who is this person? I don't even, she was just
walking trope.
Yeah. Like, she was so much of a trope that I think it, nowadays, if somebody was written that way in a serious manner, it would be offensive.
Oh, yeah. It totally would be. This would be all over Tumblr, all over Twitter, all over everything, this incredibly sexist portrayal of a strong hero. It would
people,
be...
People...
Yeah.
And the Tumblr darling that is Hawkeye would have been. Man.
Yeah. Like, I don't... In 80s context, it doesn't seem as... I don't know, it doesn't seem as bad. Maybe because of her haircut. Her haircut... Her Wasp's haircut looks like super mall rat, kind of like mall kid.
There were instances where I would, like, flip to a page and I would think, is this Wasp or Molecule Man? Because they're, they look so similar. But, you know, you
costume
could.
Costume and everything. Oh my God.
But Molecule Man was a much more interesting character than Wasp was in this comic. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah, I actually liked Molecule Man and what was her name? Volcana,
yeah.
I actually liked them. I thought they were kind of cute.
Oh yeah, I think so too. I mean, they actually had character growth in this comic.
Yeah.
Nobody else did.
I mean, Molecule Man's was like out of the blue, like Deus Ex Machina, like Doom saying, I am going to open your mind. And he just goes, oh, my mind is opened. But it was still neat to see, and to see Volcana and Titania, like, their thing with each other, and Titania getting upset, like, oh, Volcana, you always go for the weak ones, the little milk toasts. I don't even know what a milk toast is. Apparently, a guy like that? I don't know.
Yeah, that's a term that we don't use anymore. Like, Chippy, geez, every time somebody's called, it was always a girl, or excuse me, a male character would call a woman a Chippy.
I don't know.
Is this something that people actually said in the 80s?
I can hear it. I can hear it like in a Three Stooges skit, like Chippity. I don't know.
Yeah.
But I don't know.
This comic is horribly dated.
Yes. In many ways, but that language, the language like that, and then the saying the names with catchphrases, those are the things that get me.
Yeah.
But, okay, and the other thing, so, about saying the names, they say the names every two fucking panels, but it took, like, until issue 10 for anybody to mention that Iron Man is not Tony Stark right now.
Yeah, I was not aware of that until, like, I had no idea. I mean, I guess if you were reading comics, you would know
that. Yeah, you would know, I think. But, I like, going back and reading this, it just, like, took me by surprise. Like, wait, that's not Tony? Hold on. And then all of a sudden, Rhodey's like, aha, everybody will think that James Rhodes is the greatest Iron Man. I'm like, I didn't even know you were the current Iron Man. I'm sorry, bro. I got
nothing. I think only like, Tony and Rhodey probably know.
Yeah.
That he's not Tony.
But this is still the period of time when people didn't know that Iron Man was Tony. They thought Iron Man was his bodyguard, I think it was. Yeah. So, I mean, I kind of, if you know the context, it's not such a surprise, but I had forgotten about the context when I read this, and it just was like, oh, wait, that's not Tony. Shit, it took 10 issues for me to realize it's not Tony. It makes more sense when you go back and read, like, all of the issues where they talk about how smart each other is, like Reed Richards compares to Dr. Doom compares to, like, Bruce Banner. They're all like, ah, oh, we're going to have a doctor session and talking about smart things. And Tony's not there. And I'm like, why wouldn't Iron Man be in the smart man conversation?
Yeah, like in retrospect, it makes so much sense now.
And the other thing in retrospect, like in when they go to the village with Zaji, the healer.
Oh, God.
Yes, I know, that's a whole other bollocks. But when they go to the village, who's the one that they're going there to heal? Like, somebody gets healed right off the bat. It's one of the mutants, I think. And one of the Avengers makes a comment like, I don't know if her healing power is going to work on him because he's a mutant. And Iron Man makes something like, oh, well, I also probably wouldn't work if she was black. Like, it makes the direct race comparison for mutants, you know, like the whole thing, the mutants and the X-Men, like that whole undercurrent, like he overtly calls it out. And in retrospect, that makes so much more sense that he would call that out. But then, like, the next issue, call Monica Rambeau babe.
Yeah, it's funny because actually when I got to that page, I thought, holy crap, that's really racist.
Yeah.
But even like, I don't know, maybe they were trying to drop a hint somehow that we were supposed to,
Yeah, I don't know. If they were, it's not there. I didn't pick up the hint that they dropped.
Well, so I thought it was racist, right? And I thought, okay, maybe he's being like sarcastic a little bit.
Yeah, I think he was.
But I mean, at that point, like you said, we didn't know it was Rhodey.
Yeah.
So I thought, okay, maybe Tony's making like being sarcastic, like, why wouldn't it work on them because they're mutants kind of thing?
Yeah.
But yeah, it was, yeah, still very racist.
Yeah. Anyway, it was awkward to have that, and then the very next, like, issue, have him calling, like, pointing out the racial inequality, and then being a sexist asshole. Like, back to back. Come on, guy.
Yeah.
You're calling out bigotry, and then you're being a bigot. I don't know what to do with you right now, Rhodey. I got nothing.
It's the 80s. I mean, I don't know what else to say. Not that that's a good excuse.
So I take it you didn't like Zaji?
She was just, like, I don't understand I'm not sure what she added to the comic.
I don't know either. She was there to heal people, heal them up and get them back in the fight.
That's fine. Like, yeah. I think that's okay that they found this village of people who, and somebody in the village has, like, magic healing powers. That makes complete sense within the context of the Marvel Universe.
Yeah.
I mean, part of Denver, Colorado was there too, right? But it's like, okay, she's like a love interest for Johnny Storm, but then she's also a love interest for Colossus, who is also like pining for Kitty Pride, and it just, I don't know. I don't get it, right?
I don't know. There was this whole weird thing with Colossus. All right. Like, Let me break this down. So the villains in this all openly flirt and openly flaunt their sexuality and come like an extra sentence away from saying, hey, Titania, you want to bang in the next panel? Like, it's so close with them, right? So obviously that open sexuality is evil. But then for the heroes, they get Colossus, which is just every single time Colossus was pining over Zaji, it was like, oh, God, I have to read more of this crap. And it's just him going, I don't know, I love her. I think I love her. She makes me swell like no one else, and I just want her to be happy. It must be true love. Oh, but I have Gideon. Oh, but she's with Human Torch. And then, like, Human Torch obviously, like, likes her, but it's Johnny Storm. He's just going to bang her and move on, which is basically what he does. He just bangs her and moves on. And Colossus keeps pining for her. And it's like, it's this whole thing, and I don't know that any of it mattered. Other than the fact that pining, the main message you get from that whole thing is that just banging quickly is douchey and evil. So what you need to do is you need to quietly and silently obsess about a woman without her knowing and then spring your love on her at the last minute so that she can fall in love with you before she dies. Like, the whole thing ranks of, like, creepy nerd obsession.
Yeah, it's pretty... I feel like Colossus, if we had seen more... If there were more panels in the comic, he would have been standing around the corner wringing his hands in yes. the shadow of, you know, of Zaji.
Yes. Oh my god, you're right.
It's just this whole... I think it's very interesting because, like you said, Andy, the villains seem to have healthy relationships with... I mean, no, maybe not healthy, but normal, you know?
Yeah.
Sure, it's probably not great that Absorbing Man called Titania legs all the time. But she was... She didn't... She seemed to go with it, you know what I mean?
Like, we're treading on sexist waters here as two white guys, but... I get what you mean.
The point I'm trying to make is that she doesn't seem... I didn't want to say she, like, doesn't... She doesn't complain about it.
Yeah. No, I don't want to make it sound like the two of us are sitting here like, it's all right to catcall women if they don't say anything. Like, obviously not. But I think what we're trying to say is, in this, she seems to take part in the banter.
And she reciprocates his affection.
Exactly. In a similar manner, too.
Right.
Yeah. Like, I do think that they're just, like, two aggressive people, and this is the way that they are expressing themselves.
Exactly.
And for some
exactly
reason...
Exactly the point I was trying to... That's yeah. what I was trying to say.
And for some reason, that's painted as evil. Like, that's what the villains are doing. And I don't know. Like, I don't get that that's an evil thing to just be openly attracted to another human being. Like, you have to be Colossus, really? I don't know. I don't know if I want to sit back in the corner and... Oh, I don't know, does she like me? But I'm so obsessed with her, what should I do? You know, like, that ain't healthy.
He was far creepier than like, Absorbing Man.
Oh, God, and, yeah.
And Molecule Man and Volcano, we mentioned it.
They're adorable. They're,
yeah, she genuinely liked him, and he reciprocated it in a healthy way. They were both, like... And, you know, I started reading Secret Wars 2 a little bit, and they have a nice apartment together in Denver. They're, like, watching Hogan's Heroes at the beginning of issue 1.
That's perfect.
And quoting Colonel Klink, you know. They have a real, like, relationship. And,
yeah.
That's, you know, great. Spoiler alert. But
no, but that's good.
Yeah, it was... They seem to be normal people.
I think their relationship was one of my favorite things in this whole comic.
Definitely.
It was one of the more interesting things to read. And Titania, too. I really liked Titania. Like, and I didn't know that this is where she came from.
Yeah, Volcana, I didn't actually
I don't
either.
Really know past that. But I didn't know this is where she came from. Because she, like, I've read her in other things after this. I was like, all right, strong chick, whatever. I don't need to know the background. But she, like, she goes toe-to-toe with, like, Hulk for a little while in this. And I'm like, oh, damn. That's pretty powerful.
Yeah, and she's not like a... She's not... Unlike the other, like, strong villains who are their powers that they're strong, she's not an idiot.
Yeah.
Like the Wrecking Crew. I mean, she's probably
the worst.
She's, like, probably a little bit too angry, but she's not stupid in the same way that they are.
Yeah. Yeah. She has emotional problems, not intelligence problems.
Right.
Yeah.
And it's not because she's a woman either. It's just, she's just really angry.
Oh God. But, okay, see.
But I'm not saying that it's, you know, this age era of comics, that's the kind of thing we see, you know, it's like, look at that lady. She's got issues.
Right. That's what I was just going to say. Like, we're not trying to sound sexist, but when you read an 80s comic, you can really get a feel for the undercurrent of sexism that existed in the 80s. And, like, of course, the only characters with emotional problems that get in the way are the female ones. Like, it's taken for granted that, of course, Wasp would be worried about the mall. No way would a male character be worried about them all, even though Johnny Storm would totally be worried about them all. Like, you know, nowadays Johnny Storm is like the Metro guy who would like have those aviator stunners, and that would be Johnny Storm, and Johnny Storm would really care about the wall and his mani-pedi.
Yes, like definitely.
It's I don't know. So okay, Galactus is in this, and then he's super important, and then he's not at all.
Yeah, I'm not really sure like what his deal was. I mean, I guess he kind of brought the hero teams together.
Yeah,
but other than that, I'm like, I'm not sure what he did.
See, I think Colossus and that village, to me, are what was great about this comic and what was bad about this comic. Because in the beginning, it's talking about Battleworld as like this pieces of all these different worlds, and there's so many possibilities for interactions and for storytelling, honestly. And then you like you build this cool thing. You're like, oh, there's this village. People they might have to protect and get attached to, but might have to leave. And then there's Galactus right there, and Galactus is on neither side, obviously, but it's like this thing, and like, there's all this opportunity for complex storytelling, and half of it just ends up being about Zaji and the village and things I don't care about. And then, like, it's Battleworld, but it's just alien technology. Like, the terrain of it never plays into it, even though they can't stop talking about how it's a patchwork planet. It just, there's so much that they consistently talk about in this comic that doesn't end up mattering. And I think I'm supposed to get this as like, oh, wow, that's so cool, and then just forget it. I don't know. Maybe I'm too old of a target audience for this.
Yeah, I mean, they were trying to sell action figures, so.
Yeah.
Well, not that I'm above buying action figures.
Oh, hell no. I have an order in my Amazon cart right now.
I just don't care about these action figures. I'm sure if I was a kid at this time, I would have been like, Mom, buy me all these things.
I need to recreate this battle. Give me 14 action figures now.
And then I'll pretend that this patchwork planet is all deserts from the same place. Except for that one place where the swamp was.
Because that's basically swamp, Denver, the village, and then, yeah, all deserts.
Yeah, well, and these, like, alien terrain, you know what I mean?
It's yeah, like, but there was never like a forest. 12 issues of Patchwork Planet. No, never saw a forest. Never saw snow or ice. Never saw an ocean, a big body of water of any kind.
No, there was volcanoes too. Yeah,
the volcanoes, but they're desert volcanoes. Right. It was very desert-like volcano landscape.
There just wasn't any variety in the terrain on this patchwork planet.
Yeah.
It's the point I'm trying to make.
Yeah.
This comic just wasn't that good.
No, thank you for saying it. I've been trying to dance around that, but really.
Well, so one of the big things that came out of this comic is that Spider-Man's costume,
is black.
Is black. He got his black costume in this. And actually, I thought this was, the way they handled that was pretty interesting.
And that ends up being Venom, right?
Yeah.
So this is where he first gets and picks up Venom.
Correct.
Okay. Because all I really knew for Venom was the movie retcon. Like, it comes back from... Actually, that probably wasn't even from the movie. Like, Venom first comes back on the space shuttle with Jonah Jameson's son.
Yeah, that's from the... that's from the...
The cartoon?
That's from the cartoon, yeah.
The cartoon, okay.
I mean, so this was interesting, and I thought... You know, that's something they actually wrapped up towards the end, right? Because everybody else is getting their new costumes.
I love that. Oh, crap, we only have 2 pages left, and we need to sell a second round of action figures. Everybody, new costumes, quick!
And then Spider-Man was all like, hey, that's not where I got my costume. What are you guys doing?
And I like that he asks, do your clothes do anything neat? And Johnny Storm's just like, no, bro, it's just clothing.
Yeah. It was pretty great.
No, it's just Claude, dude. What's wrong with you?
Which is weird because Johnny Storm's whole thing is that his clothes can be set on fire. And
right? That's right. His clothes are not just cloth.
That's kind of your deal, Johnny Storm.
To have not normal clothes. You and Reed have not normal clothes.
The person who gets the worst new clothes is Professor X.
Just the giant, like, X straps on his chest.
On a yellow jumpsuit.
Bright yellow.
He's like, I can walk again. The first thing I'm going to do is get, like, a hazmat suit.
See, but no, that's what he's doing. He's walking around shouting, visually shouting, everybody look at me standing up. See how you can see all of my legs. That's what he's doing. Look at me. I'm standing.
And I mean, see, that's like, something to be happy about.
The X sure. goes across his chest so that when you hear Professor X's voice and you turn your head, normally your eye level would be like wheelchair height, but the X immediately pulls your eyes up. So you know, oh, standing. He's standing now.
That's definitely it.
Yes. See, it's perfect, perfect, perfect costume. Actually, the costume I liked in this in the beginning was Storm. This is the badass Storm phase.
Yeah, for sure.
This is the best Storm. And I like Storm in this, too. Storm's constantly like, are you fucking tripping balls right now? This is my fucking job, Charles.
She's like, dude, you kind of suck at this.
You kind of suck at this, and I'm kind of awesome at this. Back the fuck up, bro.
And Cyclops is kind of standing in the back being, I was the leader one time, guys.
Hey, remember me?
Cyclops actually wasn't that bad in this comic as far as Cyclops goes.
I mean, he doesn't really do much. That's the thing is, everybody gets like their 2 minutes.
Yeah. You know?
Like, Thor gets like a couple scenes that are good. Everybody gets a couple scenes that are pretty good.
Even Hawkeye.
Yes, Hawkeye, we get it. You ran out of arrows. We get it, bro. He's constantly complaining about it.
I mean, that's kind of his deal, though. So
yeah, I know. Yeah. I feel like Bullseye would have been more useful, because Bullseye can throw anything. Hawkeye's only got the arrows.
I feel like he probably could have thrown things, but, you know.
I just imagine every time that he's not on the panel, he's off making those, like, cheap, shitty wood arrows. Just making arrows.
I know, he's like, they stole all my arrows? He's like the guy from, you know, what's that movie? Office Space. He wants his stapler back. Yes. It took me arrows. Heard there would be arrows.
Yes.
Yeah.
Yeah. And the people that get the more... And really, this comic is primarily about Colossus and Doom. Right?
It's, and yeah, Wonder, obviously. I would agree with that. I think it's kind of barely about Colossus and mostly about Doom, which is fine because I like Doom.
Because Doom is the best. And I love that he names it Doom Base.
Yeah.
Let's not even be subtle about this.
Does anybody else even name their little house, their base? No, right?
No. They just call it the Fortress or the Alien Building.
Yeah, I think that was the name of Magneto's, was the Alien Building.
Yeah.
Oh, Doom.
He's great. He's great and I love him. But okay. So you get omnipotence, right? And the first thing you have to worry about is how omnipotent you are. Like, at a certain point, are you omnipotent enough that you can control your own omnipotence? Like, I don't know. Maybe I'm trying to apply too much logic to this, I think.
Well, what's interesting make sense to me. This is a consistent thing that happens when people gain omnipotence in the Marvel Universe. I mean, this is what happened to Thanos when he gets the Infinity Gauntlet, finally. He's like too omnipotent for his own good or something.
Like he doesn't have enough mental capacity to handle all of everything he can do.
Right. So he tries to be the god, but then he gets tricked, kind of.
Yeah.
And that's what happens to Doom. I thought Claw possessed by the Beyonder was pretty great.
Yes. That actually was pretty... I liked Claw on this quite a bit. Just fucking insane. My favorite part of... Okay, I have another new favorite part of this. Is when Claw let himself get cut up and dissected for Doom. And he's just like, yeah, fucking, I made a sound. Doesn't hurt a bit. Who gives a shit? And he's just ranting crazily the entire time Doom is just cutting him into pieces. Like, this is... This is pretty twisted, Doom, even for you.
And you know what I really enjoyed about Claw is the fact that I think, you know, his word bubbles have an echo at the end.
Yeah.
But I don't think that was his voice. I think he probably consciously added the echoes in. He's like, dude, I'm sound.
That's how I read it.
Yeah, he's like, I'm going to add these cool echoes to my thing so everybody knows I'm the sound guy.
I'm crazy, AZ, AZ, AZ.
Yeah.
Isn't it awesome, 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 awesome?
Exactly.
And he seems about that intelligence and sanity level. So I have no problem making that canon in my head.
Hey, have you seen Age of Ultron?
No, not yet. I'm going to wait for it to come out on...
okay, because there's a... the guy...
Claw cameo?
Yeah, I mean, it's the guy who becomes Claw.
Are you serious?
Yeah.
Yes, Claw!
He's in it, and he gets... So he has a little, like, cone for a hand. He gets his hand cut off in the movie.
Oh, maybe they're working towards, like, Avengers 4 Secret Wars.
Well, I mean,
Claw... When they finally get all the properties under their
wing. He's a Captain America villain, so, you know, it makes sense that they might set him up for some later Captain America stuff.
Honestly, I knew Claw existed, but this is the first thing I've ever read him in.
Well, he's kind of neat. He's got a weird costume, though. He's a dude made of sound.
Dude made of sound. That's fine. I just love his head sitting there talking.
Yeah.
Like, I don't know. I wasn't expecting it to get like that. Because there were times when I was like, okay, maybe this is a younger target audience than me. And then, oh, hey, there's Titanium Absorbing Man fucking, more or less. And then there's Claw sitting there, disembodied head, like it's no big deal for Shiggies.
Not only was he disembodied, but Doom took his body and made lenses out of it.
Yeah, like it made something out of him. Like, Doom, it's kind of twisted, bro.
Well, I mean, he knew what he was doing.
Doom. Yeah, it's Doom. He could do anything, really. It's Doom.
Yeah.
Yeah.
So we didn't really talk about the Beyonder.
Oh, yeah, the Beyonder. He was in this.
So but in this one, he's basically just a voice in the sky, which kind of is disappointing in one regard, but in another, it makes me happy because that means we're going to see Beyonder in Secret Wars 2, and man, his character design is great. I'm not going to get too far ahead, but it's pretty good.
I'm excited for that. I really like the philosophical explanation of what he is. Who did that? Oh, in the bathtub. Enchantress summons a water nymph in the bathtub.
Yeah.
Or a water element. And makes the water element, who just seems like has like a gossipy writing to her for some reason, which is perfect. And she's like gossiping about what the Beyonder was. And that the philosophical description of the Beyonder as in his realm, he is the entirety of everything that is. Like, he's the omnipotent, omnipresent, omniscient god of his dimension. And just somehow a little crack opened and he saw the Earth and got completely fucking infatuated because it was the one thing he didn't have control over. I don't know. I really like the concept for the Beyonder because it succinctly explains his power without going into too much detail, without being the midichlorian problem.
Yeah, like, it's like, okay, this dude is everything. He represents everything.
Yeah. And it's a different dimension where he represents everything, but there he represents everything. And everything is him. It's just, it's succinct and simple and it works.
Yeah. It was good without, like you said, without getting too explainy.
Yeah.
Because that's certainly a thing that happens in a lot of media properties, not just...
Well, and in a lot of comic books, especially, I think, when there's like the big bad, like Blackest Night. Who was the final villain for Blackest Night? I know it was a big reveal when it happened.
Necron.
And they explained why Necron was the big bad, and I was like, wait, huh? Give it to me one more time? Like,
yeah, pretty much.
They were like super explaining it, and I was like, I don't need to know. Just give me the name of a crazy villain. And just say it was him, because he's evil. And that's good enough. So then is the Beyonder actually evil, or is he more like Galactus? Just like a being of such a power level that he doesn't understand that what he's doing can even be perceived in any moral context.
No, if I could compare him to a character in another property that you would be familiar with, Andy. He's more like Q.
Q. Oh, okay.
It's like he is above all these creatures, like the humans and the people of Earth, and he's curious. And so he screws with them to satisfy his own curiosity and to entertain himself. Not because he's evil. It's just that the things he does are not such happy things for the people that things are being done to.
Mm-hmm.
Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
So it's that kind of thing.
Okay. Now that's a perfect explanation for me. I totally get that.
Yeah. I figured that would be a good one for you.
You figured I would know what the Q was? Okay.
Yeah. I don't know if there's a beyond continuum. I mean, I guess there might be.
I mean, there may be other universes where there's entities like the Beyonder. So, okay. Other than the Beyonder and Zaji, what new kid? Was Spider-Woman totally new for this?
I don't know if she was totally new for...
For this in particular, but she definitely...
Right. She was a newer character in the Marvel Universe at the time.
I really liked her character design because her character design was basically, okay, let's take Spider-Man, but give him boobs. Like, okay, oh, wait, hold on, let's draw that. Okay, wait, crap. If you draw Spider-Man with boobs in a black costume, you can't really see the boobs that great. Let's add long hair, boobs and long hair. Oh, wait, sometimes dudes have long hair too. Yeah, okay, well let's, oh, I know, let's cut out a hole in the mask so you can see her feminine lips too. Done, sealed.
It's just sealed like, with a kiss?
Yes, it's just like, let's copy Spider-Man, but add sexuality in places. Or just like, add feminine touches. Don't actually make her a unique character, just add feminine stuff. Because her personality seems so much like early Peter Parker too. Just like... young, unsure of herself, but still really talented, and it seemed really not unique. She was just kind of there.
Yes.
Just definitely. There. But I mean, that's what we've been saying about the half of this comic, is it's kind of just there.
I don't even know if there was a Spider-Woman action figure. I actually pulled up the list of the figures that were created. Oh wait, where'd it go?
I mean, that would be a missed opportunity. Because I got to tell you, and look, in case none of you listening have ever raised boys, the first thing you do when you get a bunch of action figures and you play with them, depending on what age you are, you make an army and you have them fight each other. And then when you've done a couple different battle scenarios, you realize that you have some male action figures and some female action figures. So you start putting them in sex poses and giggling forever. So, it's really a missed opportunity if they didn't make a Spider-Woman.
You know, I'm looking at the list on Wikipedia, and it appears that there was not a single female action figure made.
Wow. Really? Not even the Storm? Storm is your badass.
So, Series 1 is Captain America, Doctor Doom, Doctor Octopus, Iron Man, Kang the Conqueror, who was in it for like 2 issues.
Yeah.
Magneto, Spider-Man, and Wolverine. Series 2 was Baron Zemo, Daredevil... Falcon, Hobgoblin. They must have been
like the tie-over ones.
Yeah. And then the black costume Spider-Man.
Yeah.
And then there was a foreign release that included Constrictor, Electro, and Iceman.
So they made action figures of characters who weren't even in this comic for this comic, but they didn't make like Titania, Volcana, Wasp, Storm, Monica Rambeau.
Wow. Nope. There were some playsets too, but... Jeez. Like Doomcopter, Doomcycle, something called a Doom Roller.
Of course.
Doom Starglider with Kang.
With Kang!
And then there's Marvel Superheroes Freedom Fighter playset, and Marvel Supervillains Tower of Doom playset, and then Star Dart Glider with Black Costume Spider-Man, Turbocopter, and Turbocycle.
I love that all the Doom stuff is named Doom, too.
Yeah, Doom Roller.
What does it even do? It rolls.
Doomstar Glider with Kang.
With Kang. There were opponents in this. Why would that come with Kang? Oh, whatever. Doesn't need to make sense.
No.
Yeah.
They also came with these little shield things that were like So each figure came with a shield,
mm-hmm.
and they were these little, it's hard to describe. They're like a little lens.
Okay.
Like you could hide it, hold it up to the light and you would see an image or something. Skipping back a little bit. So keep that thing I just said about the lens in mind.
Okay.
So the reason I picked Secret Wars was because there's a new Secret Wars going on right now in the Marvel Universe.
Mm-hmm.
It's very Crisis on Infinite Earths.
Okay.
But there's a, I didn't actually read the comic, but there is a, in the Deadpool tie-in to Secret Wars 2015, Deadpool, who is known for breaking the fourth wall, yeah. makes a reference to these little shield things that came with the figures. So it's pretty hilarious.
That's neat.
It's very, very Deadpool.
So if you get all the lenses and you stack them up, do you make Claw?
If only, man. I wish that you could, like... That's what Marvel does now.
Yeah.
Figures come with body parts, so if you want to get that left leg of... of Thanos, you have to get some crappy figure that you would never otherwise buy.
Yeah, it's always something. Like, I bought, I think I bought a Blue Beetle, and it came with, Adam Smasher's left leg. Okay, what am I going to do with Adam Smasher's left leg?
Yeah, like, I think
if they made an Adam Smasher, I might just buy an Adam Smasher, but I'm not going to buy all fucking 10 of these.
Yeah, I probably have, like, I think I have, like, Dragon Man's left elbow or something that came with Hercules.
Like, okay, I guess this is a body part for him to smash people with. well.
Yeah, so essentially this was a big, crappy toy commercial of a comic. So far, the new Secret Wars is not turning into that. I mean, it's not great. It is like a Marvel giant crossover, but it's not this bad. There's so many things. I think we could sit here for another hour and just complain about little things that came up in this comic that we kind of hated.
Yeah.
Or just make fun of everything.
Yeah. But
that would just be too easy.
Yeah. So let's just rate it.
Yeah, I mean, we're going to figure out what... In 1984 and 85, it was apparently good enough to warrant a 9-issue sequel. So that's what we'll be talking about next week. I mentioned a little bit that we see... Molecule Man and Volcana in their apartment. Magneto's got a new costume and haircut, which is pretty amazing.
Oh, yeah.
So good. So good. Okay. And you could tell that he went to one of the other X-Men for hair advice.
Oh, I hope it's what I think it is. Anyway,
could be.
I'm gonna rate first. I'll give this one a 2. Because, I mean, it's 2. It's not. I mean, it's bad, but it's not like Spawn bad or like Blue Water Comics presents B. Arthur bad. You know, it's bad, but it's not yeah. so bad. Let me put it this way. I'm really, really glad that it was on MCDU or yeah, MDCU, Marvel Digital Comics Unlimited. I'm really glad it was part of my like Marvel Netflix subscription. If I would have paid for this, I would have been so pissed.
You know what's funny? You say that, right? So I bought...
Oh, no. Did you buy it?
Well, I didn't. I do own the whole 12-issue run. But the reason I bought it is because I really love number 8, the cover, which is the black costume cover. And it was like $45. I got it for really cheap because... the comic is worth like $100 or something.
Oh.
And I got it for pretty cheap. I got it for like $40. It's not, the copy I bought is non-CGC rated or anything. But then the shop where I bought it, which is my local comic book shop, Elusive, they were having a huge back issue sale. And so I was able to get the other 11 issues for like a quarter each.
Oh, well.
So I thought, might as well just buy the whole run.
Yeah, for that price.
So now I have the whole, I mean, I've had it for like a year and I've never opened them. And so this is actually the first time I've read this comic. But like you, I'm glad I read it. It was a fun read, yeah. Even though it wasn't great.
I mean, it's not, I didn't like feel like I wasted my time.
Yeah, exactly. I think it took me for, it felt like a slog to get through, but it wasn't horrible.
Yeah, because there's a lot of dialogue that honestly you can skip. Like the first 2 pages of each is just recap of the previous couple episodes.
Yeah.
Or issues.
So you're giving it a two, Andy.
I'm giving it a two.
I'm also gonna go with a two. It's slightly below average, but you know, I think it's had some at least one lasting impact in the Marvel universe. I mean, we got Venom from it, right?
Yeah, it's had a couple. Titania's still around.
Yeah, Titania. The Molecule Man was really important at the end of Jonathan Hickman's Avengers run. And he was super, like, crazy powerful. But he was pretty... He wasn't, like, super evil. And him and Doom teamed up.
And it probably was because of this. In the long run.
Yeah. I mean, the new Secret Wars spun out of the end of Jonathan Hickman's Avengers run. So, yeah, he's probably a reference to it. So, you know, is this comic good? No. I think with it... It's safe to say that. Is it worth the read? I think maybe it is.
Yeah. If you really like Marvel and Marvel's event stuff, yeah.
I mean, it's all, if you have a digital unlimited subscription, you can just jump on and read it, you know, and it's kind of a fun little window to the past. I mean, the comic is super dated and it's not because of the art. Or anything like that. It's very much the dialogue is really bad.
Yes.
But it's, I don't regret reading it. So take that, you know, for whatever you think it's worth. If you want to read it. If not, you will live.
You'll be fine. It's not that integral to the universe. Yeah. All right. You ready for quotes?
Quotes?
Yes.
Oh, I'm not.
I'm not actually at all. I was just saying that because I thought you were going to like edit it in and I would have to give you a quote.
No, no. So this is going to come on next week. We're taking a break just because Jen's not here and it'd be kind of weird to start without her. So what we're going to do starting next week is we'll each pick a quote, a pivotal quote from the comic that we read for the week, and we'll read it to another show cast member. And they'll have to guess who said the quote and in what context the quote was said. And if you get either one of those right, you get a point. But if you get them both right, you get 3 points. And we're going to do this again for a couple weeks, probably like, I don't know, 7 or 8 weeks, depending on how long it takes. And we'll see who wins that. Because, let's see, David won, what did you win? You won Fight Night, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
And Jen won Trivia. So now I'm due. I'm due for quotes. This is my time.
That's a very big assumption on your part, Andy.
And when it happens next week, quotes will be brought to you by Patreon. Patreon.com/welcometocomics. Be a patron today. Get free stuff. Tell us what to read next. Because honestly, we want to read what you want to read. So if you become a patron, you can give us a request. Actually, you can give us a request without it. But if you do it as a patron, we have to listen to you. It's like law.
Yeah.
Or at least it's Patreon law.
And if you, if you don't feel like giving us money through Patreon, what would really be helpful is if you left a review on iTunes.
Yeah.
Because that gets other people to notice us, and you don't have to tell your friends because other people on the internet will just follow your advice.
They will just know telepathically. Yeah. All right. Well, then that's it for this week. Next week, we're going to read Secret Wars 2, also by Jim Shooter from 1985. Like you said, it merited a follow-up. It got enough sales, apparently. So we're going to read the follow-up. Also on MDCU. All right!
Yes.
So if you want to find out where to read it, you can look it up on MDCU pretty easy. You just go to Secret Wars 2, and it should be right there. But handily-dandily, if you go to welcometocomics.com, on the left, there's a button that says Future Shows. If you click on that, there's a little button under a picture of the comic that says MDCU. And if you click on that, it will take you, bam, directly to this run. There's also an Amazon button, so if you want to buy it, although after reading this one, I don't know if you want to buy this, you can click on Amazon. It'll take you right to the trade we're reading on there, too. But yeah, do the MDCU link. And if you haven't bought MDCU yet, do it.
Yeah, if you like Marvel, it's worth it.
It's super good value.
Yeah. I use it even not for reading stuff for the show.
There's stuff that I bought because it was on my pull list, and then I haven't gotten around to reading it, that is now on MDCU that I could have just read for free as part of my subscription.
Yeah, the new stuff like, is about...
Why did I buy all of this?
There's about a 6-month delay, which is about equal to a trade, so...
Well, if you, for time reference, it's, was it early July right now at the time of recording? The new Marvel Star Wars comics have just been put on MDCU. So there was a delay, but I mean, I haven't started reading those yet anyway.
Neither have I.
I bought them all, and they're sitting next to my bedstand. But I haven't started. If I would have just waited, I could have read them for free on this. But no, I would have bought this anyway.
Yeah, because Star Wars.
Yeah, maybe not the Kanan one. I probably didn't need the Kanan one. I should take that off my pull list.
My pull list just says, the very top of the list, it says Star Wars All.
And that's all it says, Star Wars All.
No, it has other things like Secret Wars and stuff. It actually has Secret Wars on it, the new one. But anyways, yeah.
Yeah, all right, that's it for this week. Next week, Secret Wars 2. Till then, good night, everybody.
Goodbye.